Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We face many different scenarios in life. A lot depends on what questions we are asked, what situations we are in. How we answer can make a world of difference to our own lives and to the lives of the people, the one who asks you the question, and the one who is the target of the answer and the question. So there are people who are affected. And the higher you are in society, the more impactful your words will be. Compare and contrast that with the words of an ordinary citizen in a country versus the words of the leader of the country. And you will be able to easily find out the great chasm in impact between the leader and the ordinary citizen. Same words, same answer, but two very different consequences. One could result in many deaths because of the war that he had just started by his answer from the leader. Or it could bring great blessing. Depends on how he answers. And then for the ordinary citizen, how he answers or does not answer impact his own life and the life of his family and loved ones, perhaps, and that's about it. A very small circle of friends and family members contrasted with a nation. And so therefore, it is important for us, even in our own small way, unless we are all leaders of countries or even leaders of companies where many lives are affected, but for us, it's far more impactful and consequential because the name of Jesus Christ is at stake. Much, much more significant and important than any number of human beings' lives. Because we are talking about heaven and hell. We are talking about how people are going to perceive Jesus Christ by the way that you conduct yourself and how you answer people. All kinds of people from all kinds of angles and all types of questions. As you know, a sinner is blind, spiritually speaking. Therefore, he is unable to penetrate into the spiritual realm like you and I can when you and I read the Bible. The Holy Spirit will help us understand the scripture that an unbeliever can never understand. Then how will they be able to see the spiritual realm if at any time ever possible? They can. Because they can interact with us. The only creature on earth other than angels who can interact with us are our fellow human beings. Not any fellow human being. It has to be fellow human beings who speak the same language. I know if I were to set foot in China, I will be a fish out of water in the literal sense. I won't be able to survive. Everything that I ask or do will either be by my very spattering few Chinese words, and then a lot of sign language. Of course, Google Translate will help me a whole lot. Other than that, even though we are fellow human beings, but because we speak very different languages, I don't speak Mandarin, they don't speak English unless they speak English, or I speak Mandarin. Otherwise, there is no communication. Whatever you say to me, I can't answer even if I wanted to. I don't know how to answer. I don't know how to communicate and tell you what I want or do not want. First, I've got to understand your question before I can answer, isn't it? And therefore, when it comes to people that we can communicate with, how you answer and how they're going to see Christ because you call yourself a Christian is going to be the only door, only way that they're going to see into the spiritual realm. If you answer correctly, biblically, according to the scripture, they're going to see how loving God is in Christ. They're going to see and experience, actually, the power of Christ's death on Calvary's cross by how you answer people, either in word form or in written form through our phone or through our email addresses. And so from the book of Proverbs, we can see there are at least six ways that we can answer people. At least six. The first, I call it a powerful answer because of 15 verse 1, chapter 15 verse 1 of Proverbs, where it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So I call it a powerful answer because you can control another person's demeanor and you can help the other person sin less by how you answer. That's why I call it a powerful answer. Can you imagine something so powerful is in your hands? You realize that? You can control the other person's emotional, heated temperature. Right, that's what anger is. Right, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. The person is extremely angry with you for whatever reason. Doesn't matter what the reason is. The Bible did not say the person is just very mad at you. Now you can retaliate by just as wrathful or anger, or angry I mean. And when you do that, then Proverbs 15 verse 1b will be the result. Grievous words, angry words, words that are intended to stir up, to rouse the person. Especially words that are called absolutes. Why do you so stubbornly keep messing up the entrance of our home? I told you time and time again, the wife says. I spend so many hours cleaning up the house every week. And the moment you come in, look at the mess you made. Your shoes are here, your shoes are there. You gave me your word that you put your shoes properly, your socks properly when you take them out. It lasted only less than a couple of weeks and now you're back to your old habit. Come in, you don't even bother to put your shoes nicely and your socks properly. And then when the children come in, the children also follow your bad example. Ay-ya. You are stressed out from work. Your boss has just given you an earful because you slip up in some form or another. And so your demeanor within is not so very, very calm and collected as you used to be or as you wish you would have at that very moment. And then the moment you enter, the moment you take out your shoes and your socks, even before you set foot into the living room of your HDB flat, you heard your wife's unhappy words. A little emotional, a little upset, and even a little angry. Now the next moment, it's going to be crucial. Crucial enough to impact and affect the rest of your evening. Right? You and I all know the scenario very well. It's only about shoes. It's only about socks. We're not talking about the holy name of Christ being attacked or the word of God being challenged. It's just simply to your wife, your bad habit. To you, that's how I have been brought up at my own home before we married. Whenever I come home from school, my mom did not mind. That's what I've been doing for the past 30 years before I married you. Now that we are into our third year of marriage, how can you expect me to change a 30-year-old habit within 3 years? Yeah, yeah. You said all these things. You think it will help? Turn away the wrath? Or do you think it will stir up the anger and then your wife will give her version another perspective? And then you answer again, she will answer again, and before you know it, the whole evening is going to be ruined. And your children, who probably would have heard everything because the tone and the loudness of your both your voices will also increase, because you're going to keep on arguing from your perspective even before the other party, before your wife can complete her statements, you already jumped in. And then you want to be heard, and therefore you raise your voice over her loud voice. And then she will raise her voice over... You know what I mean. That's why the powerful answer is, don't say anything yet. quieten down. And then speak softly. It's more than just a tone, isn't it? It can be very soft, but the words could be just as cutting and deadly. So the soft answer here simply refers to not only the tone that is calm and very quiet, but also the words that are meant to calm the other person down. That's the idea of a soft answer. Calm the very highly charged emotion that is in the other person, because your dear wife has spent so many hours trying to keep the home clean and as hygienic and as orderly as possible, so that her beloved husband and all her beloved children can come home to a home that is very neat and tidy and clean. Just like you want your office to be neat and tidy and clean, your home is her office. But you don't understand this. You're so caught up by your own strong emotion, you've just got an earful from the office and you don't want to have another earful at home. And the children will usually be the worst victims of any kind of answer that will stir up the wrath of the other person, when you could have easily bring it down. Powerful answer. If the husband were to just simply quieten down, don't say anything yet, let the wife finish. I am so sorry. I had a very difficult day in the office. I will try harder, dear. I know you spend many hours keeping the house clean, and I really appreciate it. And then you bend down, rearrange the shoe, put the socks in its place, go up to the wife, give her a nice little hug, and the rest of the evening will be peaceful, tranquil, and everyone will be happy. Isn't that a very powerful answer? To calm down the anger of another person. You and I know how difficult it is to control something that is inside a human being. We can control a lot of things that are outside, but you don't let me touch the places that you do not let me go. Easy to control the external, but the heart, the inner turmoil of a person who is angry. God says, how you answer can help the person greatly by calming down that volcano that is erupting within that person. You can stir it up and you'll erupt more. And your relationship could even be in jeopardy. Your children will definitely experience a trauma that they wish would never happen. Because for your children who are old enough to understand, home of mommy and daddy are supposed to be a fortress of peace and tranquility. It's their place, the only place on earth that they should experience genuine peace and happiness. And now that is crack. And if this is your constant evening encounter, it's not only going to be cracked, it's going to be so badly broken that even after you patch it up, the cracks, the scars will still remain in the heart and mind of your children. But if they can hear from daddy his soft answer, your children will be at peace again. And not only that, your children will also learn a very godly experience on how to also provide a very powerful answer when they also are confronted by a very wrathful individual, an angry individual. The second is a joyful answer. Scenario number 1, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, is about an angry person, angry words. The second, chapter 15, verse 23, is a different scenario. A man had joy by the answer of his mouth, and the word spoken in due season, how good is it? This is a scenario where the person has a very happy, close walk with God, where the joy of the Lord is his portion and his strength in the inner man, and everyone and anyone who comes into contact with him will experience from his lips happiness, joyful words, encouraging words, words that will build up and help people who may be downcast, who may be struggling, and he has the ability to lift up their spirit to live more for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the description of a general demeanor of every born-again believer who is walking right with God. Regardless of whatever situation, whatever people that you're going to encounter and meet, anyone and everyone who comes into contact with you, they're going to depart having experienced some form of fellowship with you that will make them happier and more cheerful, whereby they will look at life from a different perspective that they would not be able to find until they come into contact with you. A biblical perspective. Every scenario, there is a light shining and penetrating through the darkness because of you. And every Christian is supposed to be like this. You know that? Because the Word of God that is supposed to fill the mind of Christ that all of us are blessed with has the comprehensive answer to every issues and circumstances of life. Do you know that? There is no problem, there is no situation, there is no character or individual that you do not know how to answer according to the Bible. All you and I need to do is to study the Bible from cover to cover. And the more you study it, the more you remember it, the better it will be for you, whereby whoever comes into contact with you, whatever answer you give to any scenario and situation, it will bring joy. A man had joy by the answer of his mouth. What kind of man? Only a mature Christian. This is the book of Proverbs, only for Christians. This is not the book of Proverbs, if you recall, that we have mentioned before. Just a reminder, by doing all these things, you become a Christian. Only Christians can fulfill all these things. This is what God has given to all his children to do the moment they are born again in Christ, to help them commit less mistakes, fewer mistakes in life. And whatever mistakes they make, it will not have grave and serious consequences that will destroy their witness for Christ. It may hurt it a bit, it may diminish a bit, but the moment you repent and bear whatever minor consequences, it will be restored back. That's what the book of Proverbs are meant to do. The book of Psalms, for example, is basically a book that will help us in time of great stress and strain of life. When you face persecution, when you face injustice in your life, the book of Psalms is where you go to, because that's how that book was written. From God's children who have endured all kinds of suffering and injustice. Different book. You want to know how to counsel? Study the book of Job. That's how you counsel, or how not to counsel. The book of Job. You don't know how to counsel people. Study all the chapters. All the response of the three friends and Job, the ding dong back and forth. Study them in detail, and it will help you. Ecclesiastes is a book of learn from my mistakes. Solomon was wise at the beginning, but he made many mistakes because he knew God's word, which he did not obey. And he regretted it. He said, learn from my mistakes, so that it will be less painful for you. Each and every book of Hebrew poetry has a particular emphasis, and the book of Proverbs is to teach new believers to sin as few sins as possible. And whatever sins we commit, it will be nipped in the bud before it gets worse. And here you have a joyful answer. And every believer should arrive at that stage. Especially when you are the head of a family. When your children come to you, when your wife come to you, or whenever you face any situation that will definitely impact the whole family, you better know the biblical answer that will help them draw closer to the Lord, which will be the joy of the Lord that will give them the strength that they need to continue to live for Christ. All Christians can do that. All of us should be like that. If you study the Word of God regularly, faithfully, diligently, meditatively, that will be your blessing to everyone that God will bring into your life. Do you know that? Third answer, chapter 15, verse 28. Studious answer. What does that mean? Well, it comes from the word studious. The heart of the righteous, right, only a Christian, studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now, the New Testament version of this is found in James chapter 1, verse 19, whereby it says, a very easy to remember verse, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Right? Quick to listen. That's what this is. Studieth answer means, you meditate upon your answer before you actually answer, right? That means slow to speak. That's what it means. The heart of the righteous, because he understands, the moment I answer, it's already done. And if I answer too quickly without proper consideration and meditation, choose my words very carefully. As long as I have not answered, my position on this matter has yet to be revealed. But the moment I answer it, my position is already revealed, and there's absolutely nothing I can do if it had been the wrong answer. No matter how I try to retract it, it's not going to work. The harm is already done. The damage probably will remain damaged. It cannot be fixed. That's why it is so important for us to study the answer. Meditate upon it before you answer. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's another way, right? It's also found in James chapter 1. To help us realize and understand that even though you and I have the right to be angry, it does not give us the right to sin in the cause of righteous anger. And do not hold on to your righteous anger. Let it come, let it also dissipate as quickly as it came. Don't let your sun go down upon your wrath. The moment you don't, you will give place to the devil. That means you're going to end up in transgression. You're going to sin. And the devil wins. Because the devil's agenda is always to get children of God to fall into sin. That's why do not give place to the devil. Don't let the devil win in causing you or me to fall into sin. That is what this studious answer simply means. Bite your tongue. Don't be so quick to answer and defend yourself and justify what you have done. When someone made a certain remark or asked you a certain question, pause. Think. Think about what? Number one, does this person need to know? Person come up to me and ask me, hey, Pastor, do you know why this deacon is not standing up for election? Does this deacon need to know why the other deacon is not standing up for election? That's number one. Number two, is it my position to tell him? If I do, how would it help him? Or should I leave it to the other deacon who is not standing up for election to tell it to him himself, because it's personal? And it's up to him whether he wants to share it with him or not. So maybe if that's the case, then I ask him, please, why don't you ask the deacon yourself? So I go to meditate and think through. Because the moment I say it to him, I will not become the source of the information. And I'm not sure whether the deacon, who's not going to stand for election, would want me to tell everybody. But now that the moment I said to him, I'm in serious trouble. And the trouble is simply this. When it is still only within me, I'm the one who control. I have the key to that knowledge. The moment I said it to him, I basically hand over the key of the knowledge into his hand. Now I'm at his mercy. If he goes on telling people, telling church members and so on, I'm going to be the main culprit. That deacon will be so upset and angry with me for saying something to this other deacon that should not have been said. And I cannot control that. And the moment I said it to him, I'm at the mercy of this other deacon. Do you realize that? That's why I go to meditate very carefully before I answer him. And as long as I have not answered, I'm still safe. The information is still within me. But the moment I said it, without careful consideration, in haste, or very impetuously, impulsively, I'm in trouble. Especially when it is a very sensitive personal issue. And lives will be ruined. And because I'm the pastor, and if that person is upset with me, you and I know that when a member is upset with another member, most likely they will not leave the church. They may not attend the same fellowship perhaps, but when they're upset with the pastor, every time the pastor speaks, they're not going to listen. How long do you think they're going to stay? They're going to leave. And there are very few good churches out there for people to live and worship. And all because my tongue was callous. I did not think through and meditatively committed to the Lord before I opened my big mouth and answer impulsively. What can I say? Sorry? Is that enough? Everyone knows why I resigned, which I do not want anybody to know, just you, Pastor. But now so many people know. How can I stay? I don't want them to know. You see the problem? When we do not study the answer before we answer. The mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Poureth out means what? Keep on coming up. Non-stop. But the one who is righteous, every word comes out carefully controlled. And that can only take place if you meditate, if you study your words before you say it. That's the third answer. I hope you will take heed. Powerful answer. You can control the other person's anger. That scenario. Angry person in front of you. Joyful answer. This should be your happy demeanor when you walk close to the Lord, so that at any time, at any moment, any situation, anybody who comes to you, having fellowship with you, they will depart, having drawn closer to the Lord. By how? They have fellowship with you, by the words that you share, by your perspective of lives and situation and people. Third, studious, meditative answer. Think, ponder. New Testament version, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Fourth answer, chapter 24, verse 23 to verse 26. Honest answer. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. So that is the key, isn't it? Honest answer because of verses 25 and 26. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. That means you are not covetous. You fear only God and not fear man. Even when men threaten you, you will still answer honestly and correctly. You will not practice situational ethics, in other words. Your answer will be honest and it will be based upon Holy Scripture. And that must be our hallmark. Jesus' version is called, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything more than that is evil. Which is true. God is the God who cannot lie. So must this very, very important, immutable attribute of God be found in all of God's children. Speak the truth. Don't say things based upon who is in front of you. Don't make decision and judgment based upon who is in front of you. If this is a person who is very, very influential, very rich, very well known, he did something that is wrong, you say it's okay. Another person who is very insignificant, he did exactly the same thing, but you say it's no longer okay, you will have to be disciplined. I hope we are not like that. Our decision has to be based upon right and wrong. That's why I call it honest answer. Not based upon who is in front of us. They're based upon the faces of men. We make certain judgment one way or the other. I don't like you, I judge you badly. I like you, it's okay, I close one eye. It's alright. Honest answer is a person who will always do what is right. He will tell the truth. Wrong is wrong, right is right, regardless. What age, what time, what culture, what century, it does not matter. Right is right, wrong is wrong. He is a person who understands the Bible very well, and for such an individual, there are very few gray areas. All areas to him are either black, you don't do, white, you do. Very simple. Because that's exactly how every Christian should mature and become. When you are born again as a new babe in Christ, you carry with you a lot of ideas and philosophies that are primarily grey in understanding. Because the world out there has no absolute. In one country, it's a crime, it's a death penalty to bring in drugs, like Singapore, which is a good thing. In another country, they have government that will help you take drugs. There are reasons. If you don't help them take drugs, they're going to take drugs under a very unhygienic environment. They're all going to be sick. They're going to die. And so therefore, since we cannot stop them from taking drugs, let us join them and assist them. At least they take drugs in a very clean and hygienic environment. You heard of this kind of foolish logic? But that's the world out there. And so when a person becomes a Christian, you think immediately all these worldly, subjective decision-making will just disappear? No. It will take time. And the faster and the more he study God's Word, all these very subjective notion of decision-making will very soon be pushed out and be replaced by biblical black and white absolutes. Because in the Bible, they're all absolutes. Based upon the Ten Commandments, the whole civil law is built upon. Our concept of right and wrong are all found in the Bible. If God says, don't do this, we don't do this. Sometimes God give you the explanation, sometimes God doesn't give us the explanation. But either way, when God says, doesn't, that all my children must not do it, we don't do it. Period. My Father said so, my Heavenly Father said so, we just obey. Because He said, don't do it, means I will not do it. Don't drink, okay, I don't drink. What, you're drinking, you drink this colored wine, whatever the wine, or it will help you in this, help me in this, and so on and so forth. Got this medical. God says, don't drink. Whatever medical reasons you try to give to me, they all come from the God of this world. I am not going to accept. To us, children of God, these are all spiritual instruction for my spiritual well-being. Take this, it will help me in this aspect of my health. Can I not take something that is non-alcoholic that will give me the same impact? Sure. Then why would I want to take alcohol? That will ruin my holy witness for Christ. Under the guise of what? Medical reason. We cannot be that naive, are we? Now, if one day they say gambling is good because it will prevent you from having dementia. Right? That's what they say. Play mahjong is good. Help you recover from dementia. Are there no other activities that are not of the gambling nature that will also help me to prevent dementia? I'm sure. Play chess. Use your brain a lot. Play chess. Study all the chess books, all the chess moves. Play chess. Very healthy, right? No issue, right? Playing chess. Of course, it's very time consuming. Then play speed checks, chess. 10 minutes, done. And you think very, very concentrate, very deeply. You're going to think 5, 6, 7, 8 steps in order to beat your opponent. And then you concentrate. You will never stop using your mind. Honest answer. To do that, you have to know the scripture. So that whoever, whatever, you know what to do. and you know what to say. Number 5, be wise. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer the fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. In the past, when I studied these two verses, I continue to scratch my head. Answer or don't answer, right? On one hand, God says, don't answer, verse 4. On the other hand, verse 5 says, answer. So answer or don't answer? Well, wise answer. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So, don't answer a fool the same way that he is speaking to you. Because if you're going to answer and talk to him the same way he's talking to you, you're going to exactly become like him. Right? So don't do that. For example, he called you names. You are this, a long list of adjectives. Now, he's a fool for calling you all these things. And so the Bible says, don't answer by calling him back or a long list of names. The moment you do, you call me all this. You are also this. What have you just done? You just became like him. He described you by using all these adjectives. You are lazy, you're a bad pastor, you are a liar, you say one thing and you do another, you keep on preaching that, but you also don't do it, you're a hypocrite. Oh, I get upset. You are also what? You also, you teach Sunday school, how do you prepare? You have last minute preparation. What has just happened? I talk like him. That's what the Bible says. Answer not a fool like the way the fool answers or say things about you. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly. That means, based upon his foolishness, you now help him out of his foolishness. So you answer in a very wise manner to help him out of his own folly. Lest he be wise in his own conceit. Because by the time you don't answer, you keep quiet. Even though you know the answer, but you keep quiet, that person will be so considerate, he thinks he's right. But you know he is wrong. You know why he is wrong. But because you do not answer the person gets upset and angry, and thinking that he is right. Walking around, boasting, blabbering. You see, I talk to this person, he cannot answer, he dare not answer me, so therefore I must be right. Not necessarily. But you let it come to that conclusion by your silence. So God did not say you should not answer a fool. He just said, do not answer a fool the same way the fool is talking to you. You do that, you'll be exactly like him, a fool. Then how do I answer a fool? Answer a fool very wisely by helping him out of his folly, which he doesn't know that he is in. That's how you answer. So he will not be wise. He thinks he's very smart in his own conceit, in his own foolishness, his self-righteousness. You do your best and answer. And once you have done that, if the person refused to listen, you have done your part. The Bible is very clear concerning this. You know, sometimes we get emails. All emails I usually answer. But from people that I do not know, I usually do not answer until I find out and ask them, may I know who you are? Of course, I have to take the person at his word, but at least I got the answer in black and white. And the person answers that I'm from another church, this and this and this and that. I listen to your message from YouTube and so on and so forth. I take the person at his word and then I will answer accordingly. Help the person. If the person refuses to tell me who the person is, I won't answer. I say, I'm so sorry, I cannot reply you unless and until you tell me who you are. I do not reply or even read any kind of email that is not signed, anonymous. I just simply delete. I don't bother to waste my time reading. I do not want my mind to be filled with knowledge that I don't even want to know. If the person is a coward and they're not reveal his identity, I don't bother to answer. Either in email form, I just delete, or in hard copy, I just crush and dump it into the dustbin. But if the person put down the name and so on, I try to answer. And the more I answer, the further it gets. I know this person is not asking to learn. This person is asking to challenge and say I'm wrong and he is right. After many series of email, I say enough. I'll just write to the person, I'm sorry, I'm not the right person to help you. Please write to some other pastors from some other churches who can help you. I tried and apparently I'm not succeeding. Please apologize. I apologize. I'm so sorry. I will no longer reply any more of your answers. Because it's very time consuming, it's vexation of spirit, it is sucking away a lot of my time, which I could have spent doing something else. So I have to be wise. Who to answer, when to answer, and then when not to answer anymore. I face this kind of situation time and time again. I will try my best to answer everyone. But these are some of the guidelines that I have for myself. Because it can be very time consuming. Because I don't type well. I use two fingers. And my typing always have a lot of mistakes. Just two fingers. Sometimes, you know, F-R-O-M becomes F-O-R-M. And there's no spell check to correct because F-O-R-M is also a word. But it doesn't make sense. I went F-R-O-M, but I type F-O-R-M. And these are the little things. And so I'm going to go back and then correct it. And then type again, correct it. I type slow. I try to use all 10 fingers. I too late, too old to learn. So two fingers. Two fingers, you know, sometimes one move faster than the other. So the spelling is always wrong. And very few spell check in email. They will tell you that it's wrong, so I'm going to go back and then going to delete and then very slow. So if I try to answer and I realize that you're not trying to ask genuine, sincere questions like others, find someone else. Because I know your theology is different from mine. If you're a dispensationalist, I'm a covenantalist, there is no way both of us can ever come to the same conclusion. I know enough of the differences to know that. So there's no point. You're not going to change your dispensational position. I'm not going to change my covenantal position. So what's the point? So why don't you go and ask someone else who is of the same persuasion as you are, dispensational, and then you let this pastor help you. I say, I'm so sorry. But if you keep on writing to me, I'll just simply put it under spam. Poke, block it. I tried. Spent many hours to no avail. I could learn to be wise because it can suck up a lot of my time that I could spend for other things. A lot of papers to write every week. A lot of messages to prepare every week. I'll try to help. Then I realize I cannot help any further. I stop. Got to be very wise. When to answer, when not to answer a fool, how to answer a fool. And finally, there are times whereby no answer is best. No answer. Just don't answer anymore. Because the moment you answer, you know you are heading nowhere. Just like this. Chapter 29, verse 19 of Proverbs. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. A servant will not be corrected by words. Do you know what that means? Sometimes words alone will not be sufficient to help the servant behave properly. And sometimes when a servant knows and understands, he will not answer because he knows his position. He knows that if he were to answer, it will be out of place. If he were to answer the master, who is he to answer the master? And sometimes there will be situations like this, whereby it is not wise for you to answer, because it is not your position to answer in that situation. And therefore, no answer is the best answer unless they ask you. Then you answer. Because if you answer and they are not going to listen, what's the point? Just to get it off your chest? You cannot just simply answer and do something just to get it off your chest. You always want to answer so that it will have the correct response and impact in helping someone, not to get him upset and angry further because it is not the right time, you are not the right person to answer, and not the right place as well. These are the many, many six ways from the book of Proverbs, more, but these are at least six ways that you and I need to learn depending on the situation at hand. You answer appropriately and correctly. A lady church member witnessed a male church member while she was out having lunch with her other girlfriend colleagues. She had finished her lunch. She was waiting for the taxi to bring her back to the office, and she saw this church member who was married with children holding the hand of a woman, not his wife. At the same time as she saw him, he also saw her, and he let go of her hand. The taxi came. She got into the taxi. She went back to the office. The burden is with her for the rest of the day. She went back home. She asked her husband, "What should I do? Should I confront him or not? Would she be the right person to do it as a woman? Would she have the right impact that she hoped for to save the marriage? That's her goal. Would that be the fulfillment if she were to confront him? And if she planned to confront him, when would be the right time and what would be the words that she should say?" All these must come into her thinking. So the husband said, "It is best that you talk to the pastor." And so she called me up. She shared with me the whole scenario of what transpired. And then, after some prayer, some meditation, I call up that gentleman. "Can I see you after church this coming Sunday? I have something to ask you." She said, "Okay," because I'm sure he knew what I'm going to ask him. And so I asked him, and I thank God that he was caught by the church member who did not keep silent when the situation was in its initial stages. It did not go any further than that lunch and holding of hands. I warned him, I talked to him, he repented. "I give you 1 week to prayerfully consider and tell your wife. The following Sunday, I'm going to ask you whether you have shared with your wife. It's best to come from you rather than from me." And so, thank God, the marriage was saved. They are happily married till today. And he was very grateful and thankful. So was his wife, for what that church member did by not keeping quiet, but by sharing with her husband. And they were very grateful and thankful, and they went out, four of them, for an appreciation dinner together. There are times when you do not have to say anything or do anything, because you may not be the right person to do it. Because as a pastor, he had taken a membership oath to put his spiritual well-being under the care of the pastor, right? So he cannot tell me to mind my own business. He can tell her to mind her own business as a fellow church member. But he cannot say that to me, because this is my business. And so thankfully, thank God, that the outcome was exactly what she desired, to save the marriage. Powerful answers, joyful answer, studious answer, honest answer, wise answer, and sometimes no answer. I pray and hope that all of us may understand how to answer from situation to situation, so that we can or protect the holy witness of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have spent so many, many hours and years of our lives building. And when we do not know how to answer properly, it can all come crumbling down. And that person whom we have offended because of our careless answer, foolish answer, may be hurt for a long, long time. It may even be a lifetime. And no matter how you may apologize, it's not so easy. Because when words are spoken, it stays in the mind like someone using a very sharp metal pen and carve those words onto a rock. And that rock is our memory, our mind. Quick to listen, slow to speak, so that you and I will be slow to wrath. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy goodness, Thy patience and long-suffering in dealing with all of us. Help us, O Lord, as we face many situations in life and many different people in life, that we may be very mindful and careful how we respond, whether verbally or in written form, that it will always be with much prayer and careful meditation and consideration, and choose our words very wisely, for we know how powerful our words can be. It can build up, or it can destroy relationships and destroy lives. Grant to us the discernment and the wisdom that we need to traverse this deadly and dangerous world of the last days. Hear us for Jesus' sake, and make us a blessing. And how we answer people, may it truly bring glory and honor to Thy holy name, and blessing and encouragement to all men. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.